Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's December 15th, 2024, and that means there's only 10 days left until Christmas. Today on the show, we'll be rocking around the life story of legendary singer Brenda Lee. Also, we'll see how you voted in our Muppet-themed Who Sang It Best, my oldest son will drop by to cook us a Christmas breakfast, and Jerry from Totally Rad Christmas will also be stopping by to give us his super-sized 5 golden things. Okay, let's start the show! Welcome, Yule Believers, to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and guy who somehow manages to get sick every Christmas, Tim Babb. Yes, you may be able to hear it in my voice, but I'm a little under the weather. Seems like it happens every Christmas. I've really got to figure out how to stay healthy at Christmas. It's so bad that as of me writing this, we haven't even put up a Christmas tree or any of our indoor decorations. But my youngest James is going to help me with that later today, right, James?
Me?
Yeah.
What about Michael?
Oh, he's got parkour practice, but he can help us after.
Well, what about Mommy?
Well, someone's got to take Michael to the parkour practice.
What if you take the lead and I'll supervise my iPad? Okay, bye.
Yep, sounds about right. Okay, speaking of supervising my kids, I'm heading to the kitchen to supervise my oldest son, Michael, before he leaves parkour, because he's got a special treat for us in today's first segment, We Need a Little Christmas, now.
We need a little Christmas now.
All right, we're in the Christmas kitchen with Chef Michael. What are we having for breakfast, Michael?
Today we are having gingerbread man eggs. We are using a aluminum gingerbread man on a griddle pan that is covered.
That's a cookie cutter.
And it's a cookie cutter, and this is an aluminum cookie cutter. One, and it has a melting point of 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, so it'll be safe from melting. So we can cook our eggs in it. Do not do this with plastic. You will destroy your cookie cutter and your eggs. So you panned it up. We already heated ours to a desired temperature. Okay, that's a little too hot, but it'll be fine. Hopefully. You can leave that in. We're gonna crack our egg in. And our first egg, this will seal up all the cracks that we have in there. So then we're gonna add our second egg right on top. That'll fill up the whole mold. And now, we immediately cut our two, we're almost low. And we're gonna cover and let it cook.
Let that let that boy cook.
This is gonna be like 4 minutes of cooking.
Speed, fast forward.
So now you're gonna take, it's been cooking for like 30, 40 seconds. You're gonna take a half shot of water and you're gonna put it in here, just like next to the egg. This is gonna boil almost immediately. Add a bunch of cheese, it's gonna cook much faster. You have to replenish this every once in a while to make sure you get enough steam. You can already see it's cooking through the lid because all that steam is getting it like all of it to 200 degrees. So technically right now it's almost completely cooked. But I want to get a sear on it and the eggs will be nice and runny. Okay, so it's been cooking for a bit longer. And now if you've ever poached eggs, you'll know, you tell by they're done by touching them. Like this egg white is almost done because you can feel it's firm, but it's not completely firm. You can see it jiggling. But this, you can tell that the egg yolk is perfectly runny. This means we're gonna put it in for another like 30 to 40 seconds, and then we're gonna sear it off and we'll be done. Okay, so now it's done cooking. So we're gonna take it and we should be able to just simply lift up and it should seamlessly slide right out. Perfect. Okay, so now we're going to take it, very carefully put it onto our spatula. And this is a hack I learned. You take it like that and you lift up your pan slightly so it doesn't damage your egg. And you can see our egg is almost about to pop there. You can tell it's perfectly cooked by just jabbing it right there. Perfectly cooked. Now we're going to see this beautiful golden brown color. We're going to get that on the same side. Cut off all this excess bit and we'll be done. Perfect. We should have at least some good enough color, but we do not want to overcook that egg in the center. So we're going to flip it like this. See, it's not great color, but it'll be good enough. And then we're going to take it, slide it onto our plate like this. Earlier. And there it is. Just kind of, first we're just going to break off like the large pieces like this. Slide your knife onto it, flip it over, and you can cut it open and you'll see your beautifully not overcooked egg yolk. It's not runny, but it's a little jammy, which is great for if you want it on toast. And you got, there you go. Gingerbread and eggs.
Thank you, Chef Michael. We actually took video of Michael making that gingerbread egg for us, and we'll post it on our social media like Instagram and TikTok for as long as that's still around. As always, if you want to find our social medias, our handles are at Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And now let's move on to our next segment, 5 Golden Things. 5 Golden Things. All year, I'm turning my countdown feature over to the other talented and merry hosts in the Christmas Podcast Network. Last time, we had Mike from the Advent Calendar House podcast join us. And if you haven't heard our Muppet-rific November episode, you should definitely queue it up to play after this one. But don't go anywhere yet, because today is a momentous day at the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. There is a Christmas podcaster who has famously been a guest on every Christmas podcast out there, except this one. Well, all that changes today, as we are happy to welcome Jerry from the Totally Rad Christmas Podcast to share with us his 5 Golden Things. Take it away, Jerry.
What's up, dudes? This is Jerry D from the Totally Rad Christmas Podcast, all about Christmas in the 80s. As you can probably tell by the name of the show, I love all things 80s, from cheesy Christmas songs to Christmas action movies to claymation Christmas specials and much, much more. Now, I thought long and hard about what to cover in this segment, and I gotta say, I was pretty stumped for a while. First, I wanted to cover iconic 80s Christmas moments, like when Mr. T portrayed Santa for Nancy Reagan at the White House. Then I switched to iconic Christmas toys like Cabbage Patch Kids and Transformers. I even considered obscure Christmas songs like 2,000 Years of Love by 5440 or Hot Club of Christ by Aztec Camera. In the end, I couldn't resist sticking with my favorite thing ever. 80s action cartoons, oh yeah. So, here's my 5 golden things. It's the top 5 80s action cartoon Christmas episodes and specials. Now, everyone that knows me knows that I don't believe in unwinnable scenarios. Just like when Captain Kirk took his Kobayashi Maru test and reprogrammed the machine so he could win, I'm reprogramming the rules of 5 golden things. So, before my actual, official 5 golden things list, I want to acknowledge the runners-up, numbers 12 through 7. So,
12.
The Adventures of the Galaxy Rangers, Marshmallow Tree, from 1986. 4 elite Galaxy Rangers with unique abilities defend law and order among the space colonies and protect humanity from the evil Crown Empire. In this episode from 86, Kiwi marshmallow trees are brought to a harvest planet. The twin suns, though, have an unexpected effect on the trees, which creates a snow-like marshmallow world. Unfortunately, the solution could make matters even worse. It all works out in the end, though. Of course it does.
11.
Astro Boy, the light ray robot, from 1980. This Pinocchio-like robot, Astro Boy, becomes a publicly renowned superhero, complete with weapons like laser fingers, super hearing, and jet-powered boots, all eventually used to repulse an alien invasion of Earth. In this 1980 episode, the villainous Skunk kidnaps and corrupts a robot capable of invisibility at Christmastime. While the original ends in tragedy, the dubbed version is much, much, much more jolly.
Ten.
Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs, the Monarch Supreme, from 1987. In the distant future, a team of 4 high-tech Star Sheriffs defends frontier space colony Yuma from outlaws, as well as Outriders, led by the mysterious Nemesis, who need Yuma's resources. In this episode from 1987, King Jarrae flies his new ship, the Monarch Supreme, into battle to save Ramrod from Gatler. After the battle, the king throws a big Christmas party, and it's pretty magical.
Nine.
Rambo, the Force of Freedom, when Savage stole Santa from 1986. On Colonel Troutman's request, John Rambo leads the special unit, the Force of Freedom, against paramilitary terrorist organization Savage. During Christmas in this 1986 episode, Rambo rescues a kid when visiting his old friend Chris Kaufman, a former rocket scientist turned toy maker that goes around his village on Christmas dressed up as Santa Claus.
Eight.
Mobile Suit Gundam, War in the Pocket from 1989. In the final days of the one-year war between Earth Federation and Zeon, a young boy who idolizes war and mobile suits befriends a Zeon special ops member who was sent undercover to a neutral space colony to capture the Federation's new Gundam, Alex, at Christmastide. This one is definitely a bummer, so if you're into that kind of thing, check it out. Dinosaurs. There's no such thing as Stegoclaws from 1987. The planet Reptilon maintains a population of intelligent anthropomorphic dinosaurs. During a conflict, two small groups of these aliens were stranded on Earth, fighting against each other. The Dinosaurs plan to go home for Merry Dinosaur Day in this 1987 episode, but the Tyrannos spoil Bonehead's good cheer by telling him Stegoclaws doesn't exist. That night, Bonehead joins Stegoclaws in trying to keep the Tyrannos from ruining Merry Dinosaur Day.
Six.
Bionic Six, Holidays, from 1987. A family of machine-enhanced human beings, each possessing unique powers after being augmented with bionic technology, battles the evil Dr. Scarab. Together, the family form a superhero team called the Bionic Six. The Bennett family is off to the new theme park Holiday World in this 1987 episode. However, their vacation ends when Scarab takes over the central computer, sending the park's animatronic biodroids on a spree of destruction. And now, for my five golden things.
Number five.
The Real Ghostbusters, Xmas Marks the Spot from 1986. The Ghostbusters keep the city safe from ghosts, demons, curses, spooks, and every other off-the-wall weirdness known and unknown to man. This time they have help from Slimer, a new arsenal of weapons, and an occasional assist from their faithful receptionist Janine. In this 1986 episode from Season 1, the guys travel back in time and accidentally bust the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future and create a world without Christmas. Now, the fate of Christmas depends on the Ghostbusters filling in for the ghosts while Egon attempts to retrieve the real ghosts of Christmas from the containment unit.
Number four.
Brave Star, Texas Terrible Night, 1987. Marshall Bravestar is the lawman of the Wild West planet New Texas. With help from his cybernetic talking horse 3030, his sidekick Deputy Fuzz, and Shaman, his mentor. Bravestar, with his special powers, fights the outlaw Tex Hex, the leader of the Carrion Bunch, who are after the mineral Carrium. In this 1987 episode, Stampede is planning on attacking the town, but since it's Christmas time, Shaman warns Tex Hex that Tex's old flame is coming to town on that very same day. Shaman totally Scrooges Tex, leading him to save the town. Robotech, Season's Greetings, from 1985. An alien spaceship crash lands on Earth, and the advanced robo-technology and secrets she bears leads mankind to repair and refit this fortress, and to create fighter planes that can transform into giant robots. Because it's the 80s, and of course they can. As soon as the repaired ship is ready for launch, the aliens to whom she belongs finally discover its location. Thus begins a series of wars that devastate the planet Earth. At Christmas time in this 1985 episode, Rick and Lisa's personal life is disrupted still by a depressed Minmay, while Chiron the Destroyer has a violent surprise of his own. His holiday attack leaves the city in ruins, and yet humanity persists through the hope of Christmas.
Number two.
Christmas Toll!
G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero, Cobra Claws Are Coming to Town, 1985. G.I. Joe is a code name for an elite strike force comprised of personnel from all branches of the United States military. Their primary purpose is to be a counterforce to the terrorist organization called Cobra, which is seeking world domination. In this 1985 episode, after successfully infiltrating Joe headquarters using very unusual means, shrinking and re-enlarging themselves, Cobra plans on ruining Christmas in Keystone City by attacking it in G.I. Joe vehicles. Can G.I. Joe stop Cobra from spreading their kind of Christmas cheer? Spoiler alert, they do, using Cobra's own vehicles and Shipwreck's embiggened parrot, Polly.
Number one.
He-Man and She-Ra, a Christmas special from 1985. On the mystical world of Eternia, Prince Adam leads the life of royalty. Unknown to all but a few close friends, Prince Adam is actually a hero, the mighty He-Man. Together with his fellow heroic warriors, He-Man battles the evil Skeletor and his minions for control of the world, and, more importantly, for the control and power of Castle Grayskull, the enigmatic building from which He-Man derives his powers. In this 1985 Christmas special, Orko accidentally gets sent to Earth during a test of a new Sky Spy satellite. He manages to get back to Eternia, but accidentally brings along two Earth children, Alicia and Manuel, with him. Since it's Christmas time on Earth, the kids are naturally filled with the holiday spirit, but this overflowing goodwill attracts the unwelcome attention of Horde Prime. The villain enlists Hordak and Skeletor to take the children and prevent the spread of Christmas joyful tidings. The combined power of He-Man and She-Ra, however, as well as the spirit of Christmas, is enough to triumph over the evil warriors and the Horde. Tim, I just want to say thanks for having me, and thanks to all you listeners for bearing with my 80s Christmas nerd shenanigans. Again, I'm Jerry D. from the Totally Rad Christmas Podcast. You can check us out on our social media pages, which you can find at linktree.com/totallyradchristmas. So on behalf of myself, and I'm sure Tim has a very awesome welcome as well, have a totally rad Christmas and a dope new year.
Thank you, Jerry. Way to sneak in a few extra entries there. But I think it was worth it. Plus, I can never be mad when the He-Man theme plays. I was a huge He-Man kid back in the day. I'll put a link to Totally Rad Christmas in the show notes of this episode so you can enjoy Jerry on his own show. Thanks again, Jerry. And now I'd like to turn from cartoons to music tunes. Every so often on this show, I like to highlight the career of an artist who sings one of the famous Christmas songs we hear each year. There are a lot of singers out there that a significant number of people only know from their Christmas work, so I like to take the time to appreciate them as well-rounded artists as well. This Christmas artist became a star as a child against the backdrop of a very difficult home life and became one of the most successful American artists of the 20th century. No, not Michael Jackson. This young lady had success in the pop charts as well as the country music charts.
In my heart is a Christmas tree farm. There's a light in the barn. We'd run inside out from the cold in the town. Kids are dreaming of sleighs and they're warm and they're safe.
No, not Taylor Swift either. This artist's signature Christmas song is a mainstay every year, and it topped the charts years after its release.
What more can I do?
Okay, sound guy, you might as well stop guessing. I was gonna tell you anyway. Today, we're gonna talk about Little Miss Dynamite herself, Brenda Lee.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Brenda Lee was born Brenda Mae Tarpley on December 11th, 1944, in Atlanta, Georgia, which means as of this taping, she just turned 80. When she was very young, she already showed an aptitude for music. At only age 3, she was able to sing songs after only hearing them twice. When she was 5, her older sister entered her in a school talent contest where she won first prize for belting out Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Brenda was singing in church as early as age 6. Sadly, Brenda's father passed away when she was only 9 years old, which was sad enough, but as he was the breadwinner of that house, that meant money troubles for Brenda and her mother and siblings. But Brenda was able to use her singing talents to make money for her family. She would perform at local events and on local TV and radio stations. Then, in 1955, a local radio DJ convinced TV host Red Foley, musician and host of the variety show Ozark Jubilee, to see Brenda perform. Red was so impressed he had Brenda on his show that night to perform Jambalaya.
Well, goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go, me on my own. Well, me gotta go for the hero down the bayou. Well, my father's sweetest one, me on my own. Well, son of a gun with a big one on the bayou.
Eventually, Brenda became a regular on Ozark Jubilee, and by 1956, the 12-year-old Brenda was signed to Decca Records under her new stage name, Brenda Lee. Apparently, Tarp Lee was too long a name for impatient people to say back then, so she ditched the tarp and kept the Lee. Her first single with Decca Records was Jambalaya, but her very next single was a Christmas song. Yes, the immortal classic, I'm Gonna Lasso Santa Claus.
I'm gonna lasso Santa Claus, and the reason is because I know a boy and girl. He never goes see. He never brings him toys like he does to me. I'm gonna pop, pop Santa Claus with my water pistol gun. Bang, bang, and then I'll take his bags of toys and run and bring to all the kids who don't have none.
Yeah, I know, not the song you were expecting, and honestly, the record didn't make much of a splash commercially either. But in 1957, she had two hit songs, One Step at a Time and Dynamite. The latter song, combined with people's astonishment at this mighty voice coming out this 4-foot-9-inch child, earned her the nickname Little Miss Dynamite.
Dynamite! Hey, baby, when you kiss it, dynamite! Hey, baby, when you hug it, hold it tight. I just explode like dynamite.
An apt nickname for more than one reason. She was really blowing up, as the kids say. She even caught the attention of songwriter Johnny Marks. Marks had some holiday success after having written Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and A Holly Jolly Christmas. He specifically sought out Brenda Lee for his next Christmas song, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Rockin' around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling.
Upon release, the song kinda flopped. It sold less than 5,000 copies its first year. They re-released it in 1959, and it didn't do much better, despite Brenda's hit with the rock and roll song Sweet Nothings in August of 59. But in 1960, Brenda recorded what would be her signature song, I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool. I didn't know love could be so cruel. Oh, 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 oh.
The label initially held back the song. They didn't think that people would believe that a 15-year-old would understand what she was singing about. But the people understood, and I'm Sorry became the sixth most popular song of 1960, beating out Elvis's It's Now or Never. Brenda also had some other hits in 1960, like I Want to Be Wanted and That's All You Gotta Do. And while her music was finding success on the pop charts, it was also getting plenty of love in the country music world, too. In fact, the song I'm Sorry, even though it was never released as a, quote, country song, it was embraced by country fans and became an early example of the Nashville sound. All this to say that when they re-released Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree yet again in 1960, it went decidedly better and it sold over 1 million copies. But Brenda Lee's crossover appeal wasn't just with the genres of rock, pop, and country. She also crossed over into other countries. Brenda's music struck a chord with folks in the UK, Germany, Ireland, all over the world. She toured England 3 years in a row in 1962, 1963, and 1964. She also did tours in South America, Japan, Germany, and Ireland in the early 60s. And one of those Irish tours, her opening act was The Beatles. She even recorded a hit single while in London, 1964's Is It True?
Listen to the talk that's going around the town. Everywhere you go, they're spreading it.
All Also in 1964, she released her first Christmas album, Merry Christmas from Brenda Lee, which included Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, as well as covers of Christmas favorites like Silver Bells, Jingle Bell Rock, and Winter Wonderland, but it also had some original songs like Christmas Will Be Just Another Lonely Day, which hasn't stuck around in the Christmas canon, but did reach number 25 on the UK singles charts.
Yes, all the world.
By the time the 60s had come to a close, Brenda Lee had stacked up quite the accomplishments. Between 1960 and 1962, she'd had 9 consecutive Billboard Top 10 hits, a record for a female solo artist at the time. When you look back at the musical artists who charted the most singles in the 1960s, it stacks up like this. Number 1, Elvis Presley. Number 2, The Beatles. Number 3, Ray Charles. And number 4, Brenda Lee. Somehow, amidst all the success, she found time to get married to Charles Ronald Ronnie Shacklett. And they definitely had a meet-cute, as Brenda described in an interview with the Women of Rock Oral History Project in 2021.
Rita Coolidge and I went to the old Nashville Fairgrounds Coliseum, which has since burned down, to see Jackie Wilson. Jackie Wilson was one of my favorite singers at that time. And we went. I was 17. And I don't know, we're looking at the show. I look at across the aisle, and here sits this guy, and I thought, he's cute. And I said, Rita, look at that guy over there. Do you know him? Because we, all us teenagers, knew each other. And she said, no, I don't know him. I said, okay. I said, take him this note. She said, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm not kidding. I want you to take him this note. I'd never done anything like that in my life. My mother would have had a heart attack. And in it, I just wrote, I think you're cute. My name's Brenda. Call me. Put my number. My mother would have killed me.
It took a few weeks for Ronnie to get up the courage to call Brenda, but when he did, things happened fast. They dated for only 7 months and then were married. They eventually had 2 daughters, Jolie and Julie, and eventually, after Brenda's manager passed away, she asked Ronnie to become her manager. But as rock and roll and disco dominated the pop charts in the 70s, Brenda returned to her country roots, beginning with an appearance on Hee Haw in 1972. This set off a resurgence of her career, with country hits like Sunday Sunrise, Wrong Ideas, and Nobody Wins.
And it's too late to try to say what might have been. It's over. Nobody wins.
But it wasn't all good news. Brenda had a pretty big health scare in the 70s. She had a blood clot in her heart that required surgery. And while the surgery was successful, her health troubles weren't over. In the late 90s, doctors found vocal cysts in her throat. She was in danger of losing the amazing voice that she had used since she was a little kid. The doctors suggested surgery, but they weren't able to guarantee she could still use her voice after the surgery. So she opted to just take longer breaks between performances going forward. Then again, the 90s wasn't all bad news for Brenda. In 1991, a little movie came out that would write a new chapter in Brenda Lee's legacy.
I'm up here, you morons! Come and get me! You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
Yes, the movie Home Alone was a huge hit in 1991. The biggest movie of the year and one of the top 10 movies of all time when it came out. But what does this have to do with Brenda Lee? Well, midway through the movie, it features Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Not only did it reintroduce the song to a new audience, as Home Alone became one of those movies people watch every Christmas and parents show to their kids, her song came along for the ride with each viewing. Soon, the song was getting regular radio play every Christmas. And when Billboard changed their metrics to include streaming, Rockin' was charting on the holiday charts and even the Hot 100. This culminated in last year, in 2023, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree went to number 1 on Billboard's Hot 100. Yes, 65 years after its release, it went to number 1. It now holds the record for the longest time between a song's release and it hitting number 1. And Brenda is now the oldest person to have a number 1 on the Hot 100, which is crazy because she's actually 13 years old when she's singing that song. But what's great is Brenda is still here with us to enjoy this outpouring of love for her song. Here's the CEO of Universal Music Group Nashville telling Brenda that she hit number 1.
You know, those fans of yours are unbelievable. You've seen them.
grandmother and Brendan Ayers and all this stuff.
Well, I love Brendan Ayers.
Unbelievable, right?
It is.
Well, let me tell you how unbelievable it is. Today, we're number one on the Hot 100 Billboard charts, 65 years later.
No one.
You are.
Now, I don't want you to think all this love for Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree are the only accolades that she's received. Brenda Lee was inducted into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame in 1982, the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1997, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2002. Two of her songs had been added to the Grammy Hall of Fame, I'm Sorry, and you guessed it, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. So happy belated birthday, Brenda Lee, contemporary to her musical peers like Elvis and the Beatles, inspiration to legends that follow the path she paved like Dolly Parton and Taylor Swift, an icon of rock, country, and of course, Christmas.
Well, reflecting back, I think that a great pivotal moment in my life is when I met the writer of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And I recorded it, and it laid around and laid around, and it didn't do anything. And somebody called me and said, "Hey, Brenda, have you seen that movie Home Alone? Your song's all over it." And I was so excited. I said, "Which song?" And they said, "Rockin'." And that was the beginning of a wonderful relationship between me and the people that bought that record and made it possible. Feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Rockin' around Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Now it's time to see how you voted and who sang it best. Last time it was Muppet versus Muppet, and the tension could really be felt, as we had Bert and Ernie face off against Rolf the Dog and John Denver to see who sang Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas best. And the results are in, and based on your votes, Rolf and John got the win with 65% of the vote.
Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough.
Which is especially nice, because that song was from the album John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together, which is celebrating its 45th anniversary this year. So celebrate by popping it in your CD player or streaming it from your favorite music streaming service, and join us again soon when we'll ask you who sang it best. And that's about it for today's show. But if you'd like to hear more from me, I'll soon be on the Tis the Soundtrack podcast. The host Kevin has been doing this cool thing this year called Merry Mixtapes, where Christmas-loving folk come on and make essentially a mixtape of favorite Christmas songs that are meaningful to them and talk about why they're meaningful to them. It will come as no surprise to longtime listeners that the theme I chose was Christmas music at Disneyland, and we had a good time talking about it. Although I have to confess, you know how I said at the beginning of this episode that I've been sick recently? Well, the day I recorded with Kevin, my sickness had just hit me hard. I feel bad because I know I wasn't at 100%, because as soon as I switched off the mic, I crawled back into bed and passed out, and it was only like 2 in the afternoon. So apologies to Kevin, who really had to carry the episode, but he did it beautifully, and it turns out he's as big a Disneyland fan as I am, so it made for a fun conversation even through my fog of sickness. I'll put a link to Tis the Soundtrack in the show notes so you can take a listen when I'm on, but you don't have to wait for me. Friend of the show, Jerry from Totally Rad Christmas, just did his Merry Mixtape too, so you should totally check that out. Speaking of Jerry, I want to thank Jerry again for his 80s action-tastic 5, well actually 12, golden things. I'll definitely have a link to Totally Rad Christmas in the show notes as well, along with links to Michael's tutorial to make gingerbread man eggs. Okay, that's officially it, but keep an ear out on Christmas Eve Eve, because we'll be back with our yearly Christmas bonus episode. Until then, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2024.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, cantwaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are at Christmas Pod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
Testing, testing, testing on this microphone. Testing, testing. I guess it works. I say he's got a parkour event today, but he can help us after. And then you say, well, what about Mommy?
Well, what about Mommy?
Well, try that again without hitting the mic. You can't hit the mic! Not the mic!
Sorry.
Well, what you say, why don't you take the lead and I'll supervise?
Why don't you take the lead and I'll supervise, and I'm totally not just watching my iPad, I'm totally supervising it. Bye.
Can we do that one more time without you backing away from the mic midway through? So it's like, can you? And then I'll talk. Like you're driving by. But otherwise, that was really good.
Hey, guys.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Did you want to yell candy, candy before I turn off the mic?
Candy!
So we've gotten a reasonable color on this side, so we're just going to give it a nice flip.
It's okay, the podcast people can't see that some of the yolk came out.
And also, we don't have a good color on it. So we're going to flip it back over because we flipped it too early. Again, we're going to tilt the pan like this. And then this, we'll try not to pop our egg yolk, this one right here. Because our first egg yolk popped.
But or did it? You can't see on a podcast. And as always, our social media hand... As always, our social media... But Brenda Lee's crossover appeal wasn't just with the genres of rock, pop, and country. She also crossed over... Brenda, sit down a minute. Let's talk. Let's mark this so that I know that it's time to put Is It True Here? That's what the people want to hear. I don't know why I just did that to the tune of Sex and the City, a show I've only seen 2 episodes of in my entire life, but there we have it. Merry Christmas from Brenda Lee, which included Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, as well as covers of Christmas favorites like Silver Bells and Jingle Bell Rock and Winter Wonder. I put an and there, I put an and there, I put an and there when there shouldn't be one.